Hi, hello, Wiffle Nation, and good morning. Welcome to your Thursday, April 7th, 2022 edition of the Holy Commutes podcast morning radio show, the only show on Wiffleball that gives you daily content from around the Wiffle world. You can follow us on Twitter at Holy Commutes. Don't forget the E in Holy. My name is Carl Coffey, and all month long, I'm joined by Josh Smith, the creator of the legendary Wiffle publication, Wiffler's Digest, founder of the historic Huntington Wiffleball League, one half of the great Two Wiffle Dudes podcast, and so much more. Josh, how you doing, bud?
Hey, Carl, how's it going?
I just named three of your Wiffle accomplishments. If you said to me, Carl, this is what I'm most proud of all my Wiffle years, is one of those three it, or is there something else I miss?
I mean, I've done a lot of things. Mainly, I can tell people probably what not to do, but Wiffle's Digest, probably. I opened a lot of, you know, doors to talking to people and, you know, traveling and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So Wiffler's Digest, for sure, that would probably be my, you know, crowning achievement or whatever, for most definitely.
Now, I said it all month long. This is season 11 of Holy Commute. So I guess this thing is here to stay. Sam Skibbe had an idea and it worked out. Every 3 months we do a show, and April is one of those months where it's 4 weeks long. So Josh, I'm going to have you for four shows, and we're going to have a theme for this month. It's called The Leagues That Made Us. We're old timers, man. We're in our late 30s, and we're getting up there. So it's all about nostalgia. So we're going to take a shallow dive into four leagues near and dear to us. I say shallow dive because this is a shorter kind of show. We can't go on for 40 minutes. But, you know, if this is popular, if people like it, why not? We could take deep dives into leagues. We can have long shows, more questions. So the first week, Josh Smith, is Hess Field Wiffleball. So when I say Hess Field Wiffleball, Josh Smith, what comes to your mind?
I mean, not to be too obvious here, but Hess Field. I mean, their field in Chris Hess's backyard is kind of the obvious thing that comes to mind. But Chris himself, as well, is one of the first things that come to mind as well. He had quite the talent as a pitcher. He was a Braves fan like myself, and a really cool guy to talk to, and probably one of the most prolific commissioners of the early 2000s.
It's in the name, Hess and Field. What comes to your mind? Yeah, commissioner and the field. It's in the name, right?
Yeah. What else do you need?
Yeah.
Yeah. What else do you need?
All right. We're starting off with Hess Field. You know, there's four leagues we're going to talk about this month, so, you know, these are special leagues to us. And Hess Field Wiffle, I mean, what made it so great, in your opinion?
I mean, they've been around a long time. I think they started, in 2005? They've kind of rolled with the punches as well. I mean, fewer leagues that have been around as long as they have, first off. And then there's the fact that fewer leagues that have been around even half their age have had as many things thrown at them as this league has thrown at them. Open rebuke from their community, you know, a few years ago. They've changed venues. I mean, they began in his backyard, and then, you know, Chris then, you know, grew up, got a place of his own. And all these different things. I mean, they've kind of went through all the changes of life that growing up presents, you know, graduating high school, going through college, you know, getting married, having children, all these different things that normally, these are meteors that normally come from outer space and annihilate leagues, yet this league is still standing. So this is kind of an outlier, in my opinion. There's not many leagues that have gone through all these different challenges and still remain. So that's something that I think undeniable makes them special among many other things.
Okay. Did it look like they had a really tight community within the Hess Field League?
Well, I mean, they were insulated from the beginning, being that they were on their own private property. So you know, it was kind of, I think, destined to probably have some issues. You know, and I don't know, I'm not incredibly familiar with the ins and outs that led to some of the problems, so I don't want to speak out of turn or talk out of my ass about something here, because I don't know intimately all the details that sort of led to some of the woes that kind of led them walking back some of their plans they had that kind of created some problems for them a few years ago. But I don't know if they violated some sort of like HOA or something like that. But I think everybody, when they buy some piece of property somewhere, they want to build a field of dreams, right? You know, Chris Ellis was living the dream, you know, when he had his own backyard with a ball field. He made the news how many times, you know, and had the envy of all of us, and then was about to recreate that once again, and then was thwarted. So, but, you know, they found a way to sort of, like, continue onward. So how can you not respect and love that? I mean, he's had the support of, you know, a bunch of players and inner circle folks that, you know, we'll talk about later here. But that I think is something that any commissioner and someone that runs a league, president, whatever they call themselves, could only hope to have. And one of the many things that makes this league special.
There's three things I want to touch on before we go to the third question. One, a wiffle ball league that embraces a baseball glove. Like, when I first saw it, I was blown away. And I was like, that's weird. But they owned it. Yeah. And they have good explanation. And then you started to think, that's not weird at all. It's just what Hesfield does. The pitcher can have a baseball glove. He can hide the pitches. And that's what it was. And another thing that they did before any other league is they kind of really embraced the teams. And before you see it from everywhere else, they had individual team social medias, like individual team Facebook pages, individual team Twitter accounts, whatever it was. So the team started to get an identity. So when you ask, if you ask me what comes to mind with Hesfield, I go, people really identified with certain teams, and then you heard about a team in Hesfield, and you can already think of a player on that team, which I thought was cool. And another thing, this goes into the third question, is you started to see leadership from people outside of Chris Hess, which is very important when you have a league, because a commissioner is going to get burnt out, as you know, and then you see people like Ozzy and Corey Zay kind of take over leadership roles. So you want to jump into the third question. Do you have anything else to say about why Hesfield is so great?
Well, I think they're a league, too, that, you know, for all the things we've kind of mentioned already here without, you know, beating the dead horse, they've kind of done a little bit of everything. They don't necessarily maintain all these different elements, like different media kind of presentations and stuff, but they've had, like, kind of cool video elements and all these different things. They're kind of a league that's done it all, just at various different points. So I think that if this is a league that ever hangs it up, Hesfield's going to be an organization that can, they're not going to be able to say that they left something unsaid or undone. And most leagues, I don't think, are going to be able to be in a position to say that. I know I can't. There's plenty of things that I wish that my league had done before that, you know, we hung up the cleats. And this is a league that is not one of them, in my opinion. They've done just about everything that a league can do in their time that they've been operating. So,
and Josh, do you think
that's something that makes them special?
Do you think they were a little bit ahead of its time?
I don't know ahead of their time, but there's things that everything they do that is similar to other leagues. I'll say this: they do it. They have a different flavor, like barbecue. For example, there's different forms of barbecue, but at the end of the day, it's barbecue, but the differences, however subtle, make them unique, like Louisiana style or Kansas City style or something like that. Something that normally irks me is when teams use major league team names, something that I've spoken about on numerous times on different episodes on Two Whipple Dudes, but it's something that Hesfield has done that doesn't annoy me. Just because they really have owned it. They're one of the earliest leagues that have really adopted that and not, like, switched it up too much. They really go all out with, like, really legit looking jerseys. They normally have long standing players with these franchises for a long period of time. They do it in a non-annoying way that I really like. So, I mean, it's just an example of how, you know, in the right conditions, there's a handful of leagues that can do certain things and pull it off really well, even if it's something you don't typically like.
All right. And listen, as we know, Hetzfeld ended in a brutal way. Chris bought this great new property, built an even better field. They had people coming over from the BWBL out in Wilkes-Barre, four-hour drive. So you knew they were doing something special. And we know what happened. It ended. Then we had a break, and now Ozzie and Chris Zay, they're coming up with Electric City Wiffle, and they're doing everything right. And I talked to them with Skylar Bird on an episode of Sipping Coffee. And listen, a first-year league that's going to have immediate impact is rare. Are they truly this brand-new league? No. But I think it's going to be something special. Hetzfeld special? We'll see. What do you think, Josh? Do you think this new league can recreate the Hetzfeld Wiffle Ball magic?
I mean, I don't know if it's going to be the same thing, but if they're going to be able to get that same kind of lightning in the bottle, maybe not, but, they're in the right geographic area. They've got the resources. They've got the talent, probably. They've got the right names and leadership involved. And for doing the right things and making the right moves, they certainly learned some valuable lessons, it sounds like, some potential pitfalls. So I see no reason why they cannot do something that's going to be very interesting to watch. Whether or not it's going to be of the same height as Hetzfeld, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know enough anymore to know if it's going to reach that level, but it's definitely going to be something that's worth watching. I see no reason to not have any faith in Electric City Wiffle and what they're going to be able to accomplish.
And listen, being away from the sport for however many years since Hetzfeld ended, do you think that hurts or helps? And what I'm kind of asking is, a lot of these guys haven't played wiffle ball for 4, 5, 6 years. And do you think that can actually be something beneficial?
It can be. As far as if it will, time will tell.
Yeah.
I think that whether or not this will apply to wiffle ball or not, I don't know. But I don't know if everybody else has noticed this, but something I have noticed is, with the COVID-19 lockdown and kind of the result of that for the past couple of years, it's led to a lot of people having more time on their hands than what they're comfortable with. And I've noticed a lot of movie sequels and, bands and reunions and all these different things happening that you would have never dreamed would have been possible had not the world ended, in a way that it has. So there may be some players that are more open to, dusting off things and giving it a go that otherwise would not be interested in doing that. So that may serve to their benefit. Talent-wise, probably not so much. So if they're looking to be a cutthroat league that Hetzfeld was, 5, 6 years ago, to where they were really looking to, take on the mantle and hold on to that for years at a time for the NWLA and some of these other circuits, not so much. But I don't think that's what the interest is probably going to be here. It's going to be to let's break ground, let's make something happen, and then build from there. So
I agree with you. All right, Josh, you're going to hear this question all month long, and we're going to be talking four leagues. So I'm going to ask you each episode about the Mount Rushmore of all-time wiffle leagues for Josh Smith, your favorite wiffle ball leagues. So the first one is obviously Hetzfeld. If I said, Josh Smith, your four favorite leagues of all time, is Hetzfeld up there? Yes or no?
That's really hard. I know this is like more like a gun to your head session or whatever. I feel like I have to say yes because it's just I've been going gaga for 20 minutes here about this league, it would feel trite to say, nah, no, because I can't think of a reason to not. There were many things that when I was building our league's website, when I was looking for inspiration, I always looked, there would be, you know, 4, 5, 6 websites I would go look at. Sometimes it'd be MLB.com or, you know, Wifflin Southeast Michigan or HRL Twin Cities, Hessfield Wiffleball or HSWB.com. They redid their website a few times. They were always a website that I went to go look at, but they were always reinventing themselves and trying to change and evolve. And that's just something that you don't always see in a Wiffleball league. So without a doubt, they belong on my Rushmore.
All right, we got one up there, and we'll see who the other three leagues are throughout the month. All right, Josh, listen, that's Hessfield. Any last words?
No, I mean, not really. I mean, I do want to give my best to the guys trying to get Electric City Wiffle off the ground and wish them well and wish them luck. Getting anything started, be it a business or an organization or anything new started now of any time, deserves any well wishes or luck at this time. So to Zay and Aussie and all those guys, I wish you well.
That's nice of you. Listen, next up tomorrow, I actually do know this. Skylar Burt is going to be hosting the Friday show. And remember, this is the only show on Wiffleball that gives you daily content from around the Wiffle world. You can listen on Spotify, iTunes, Podbean, or anywhere else you listen to your podcast. So, for Josh Smith and Crow Coffee, thanks for listening. Stay safe out there. See you.